Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word, means family, and we're the Mishpucha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile, it's finally come down to form one new man, one new humanity, getting ready, Mishpucha, to blow the grandest shofar. Oh, the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. Now, what happened to my guest, Peter Gammons, should happen to everyone. But you know what? I believe the closer we get to the return of the Messiah, the more distinction there will be between people who call themselves Christians and real Christians. You won't have to call yourself anything. You're going to, as a matter of fact, Peter Gammons, what's going on with him, I believe is a foretaste of what's going to go on with a lot of people. You see, he was just a teenager in 1976. And he went to a meeting. A woman pulls up in a taxi, gives him a prophecy, and says, that's all I'm supposed to do, and then drives off. He goes into the meeting, and the evangelist speaking gives him the same prophecy. This happened to be a man that got the anointing that Catherine Kuhlman had just before she died. And immediately after that happened, as he shared, it's kind of humorous, he'd go into the restroom and people would fall over because the presence of God was so strong. And miracles started immediately. But let's pick up right after you got that that anointing. Tell me what was going on.
Yeah, I after that, I told the story in our last program how the man came up and said, pray for me to be filled with the Spirit. And he was a big guy, and he fell under the power of the Holy Spirit and knocked everybody flying. And people literally came up to him in that service and said, do you have any Sundays free this year? Would you speak to our youth group? Would you come to our home fellowship? Would you come to this group? And God threw me out into ministry that way. I thought it was funny, you know, would you come to, do you have any Sundays free this year, you know?
Yeah, the whole year.
Yeah, I did, only 52. You know, that's how God threw me out into ministry. And I started doing these, I remember a house meeting near Cambridge. They bought this man who was deaf. God healed him of deafness, but he had crutches. And he came on crutches and he left on crutches. Then they contacted me and said that, a week later they contacted me and said he'd thrown his crutches away and bought a bicycle. And these kind of stories continued.
I imagine that you were so thrilled, so amazed that God was using you.
Yeah. And what had happened was somebody had given me a copy of T.L. Osborne's books, one of his books on healing the sick. And I read about these miracle crusades where people were being healed en masse. And that registered in my heart. You know, there's too many people in the world to pray one-on-one with everybody. We need to see a mass outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I was going for a little service near Huntingdon in England. And the newspapers called to find out what was going to happen. And they thought that I would say, you know, Mrs. Brown will play the piano and Mrs. Smith did the flower arrangement. But I said, the God is going to move. The blind are going to see. The deaf are going to hear. The lame are going to walk. I was so full of faith. And the reporter was so shocked, they put the phone down. They thought, this guy's crazy. Well, it didn't happen because the blind, deaf, and dumb didn't turn up at the service. But then they invited me to Africa. What had happened was a missionary was leaving Tanzania, and he didn't want to go back on his own, and he asked if I come with him to help him pack up and come home, he would arrange some services for me in Africa. And so I was so excited. I went there in my little safari suit my mother had got me. I looked like a little David Livingstone. And he drives out into the countryside. They set up these speakers. We've got the Land Rover there. And as I stand to speak, I look at the people, and I don't know what to talk about because they're so different to me. I remember once talking about follow-up, that you don't bring a baby to birth and leave it on the doorstep. They didn't have doorsteps, you know. And as I look out on them, most of them were wearing Muslim hats and Muslim gowns. And I suddenly thought, why should they believe me? And I began to doubt. I thought, why should they? But this little guy turns up from England in his little safari suit telling them they've got to follow Jesus. Why should they believe me? And then something rose up inside of me that said, because it's true. And I stood up and I said something very politically incorrect. I hope I can get away with saying it, but I've got to tell you what I said, whether you like it or not. I said, Muhammad is dead, Buddha is dead, but Jesus is alive. But don't just take my word for it. He's going to prove it by healing the sick. I want everyone who's blind to come forward. And then I suddenly thought, what did I just say?
Did you do what's known as a mind bypass? It came out of your mouth before you realized what you were going to say?
Yeah, because I just didn't know what to say to these people. I felt so different and so distant. I said, if there's anyone who's blind, come forward. Then I thought, what did I just say? Well, what happened was the local blind beggar was walking along behind the Land Rover. He hadn't been in the service. He wasn't attending the service. And they grabbed him and brought him forward. And when they brought him forward, everyone else stopped coming forward. It was like, well, if it doesn't work for him, we won't bother. And I prayed for him. And suddenly he begins to jump up and down and shout out, I can see, I can see. And the most amazing thing, I remember it as if it was yesterday, he begins to describe the mountains. We meet more people in a week than these people meet in a lifetime. They live and marry and die with a small community of people. And all of his life he'd heard the stories and the folklore about these mountains, but he'd never seen them. And now he can see them for the first time in his life, and he's describing the majesty of these mountains. When he said that, they brought other blind people for it. I remember this lady, she had just white. There was no color there in her eyes. And she had like a cloth over her head to keep the dust out of her eyes. And as I prayed, I saw color coming till she had the most beautiful eyes, and she could see. And then I said, I want those who are deaf to come forward. Nobody came. I said, I know you're here. They said, they can't hear you. So I said, those who are with someone who's deaf, bring them forward. And then I said, those who are crippled, bring them forward. And they brought all these people forward. Honest to God, at the end of that crusade, I went to the missionaries and pastors, and I told them, go out among the people and see if you can find anyone who was not healed. They came back to me and said, we could not find one single person who was not totally and instantly healed.
Tell me about that amazing story of the man that was deaf and mute in Brazil.
Yeah, it was incredible. There was such an outpouring of the Holy Spirit across South America. I had a 7-year period where I was ministering across Brazil, and city after city, we saw revival break out. Many of them had not had an evangelistic crusade in 30, 40 years. And I remember one man, this particular man, I was preaching. I hadn't even prayed for his healing. And suddenly he starts making these noises like, and I'm looking around wondering what this noise is. So I stop and I said, what's happening down there? And then some people started shouting things out. So I said, come here, come and tell me. And they came to the platform. I said, what's happening? They said, this man here, he's been deaf and mute from birth. And he works for General Motors. Everybody in the city knows him, they said. And now he can hear and he can speak. So I said, does anybody else know him? And this woman put her hand up and said, come here. I said, who are you? She said, I'm his wife. She said, he's been deaf and mute, never made a sound all of his life, and now he can hear, and he's beginning to try to speak. And the noise was so loud, he kept putting his hands over his ears, and God healed him. And the next day, the story spread throughout General Motors. I'm told by the pastor, everybody knew about this healing that took place. I ended up having to move from the church to the football stadium, the soccer stadium it was. Of course, that's the sport that they love in Brazil, to get the people in. And we saw that time and time again all across Brazil. We filled the largest soccer stadiums and sports arenas as the power of God came down and healed. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I believe it's so important in these end times. You know, we've got a church that's got a lot of theory, but we need the power of God to be demonstrated. I want to go to a church where the power of God is demonstrated. I want to support preachers where the power of God is demonstrated, not just where we hear the talk, but where we see the power of God. And that's the thing that I believe is going to turn people to Christ. I've seen it all over the world. I've seen tens of thousands of Muslims, precious Muslim people, precious Hindu people, precious Buddhist people, turn to Jesus Christ when they have seen his miracle power. Because most people don't realize that God wants them whole. Now, this Power in Your Pocket set of books of mine that you're going to be sharing with the partners, I've shared many things there. One of them is called Divine Healing Questions and Answers. Most people don't understand that. They think that God is their problem. They don't realize that sickness is not from God. They don't realize we have authority over sickness in Jesus' name. Faith is simply the absence of doubt. And to get rid of the doubt, you have to have revelation from the Word of God. What I share in these books came to me as revelation from God. You won't hear anybody else say it. And I believe these books are going to be so important to you because they're going to bring revelation to your spirit so the devil cannot rob you anymore. The devil is a liar, and the only way he can rob the believer is by tricking them. But the only way we can defeat him is by having knowledge of the Word. And when he does, we know, devil, you're a liar. I reject that in Jesus' name. We need to come with authority in Jesus' name.
Now, you know, you have so many different topics. It's sort of like, I think what God had you do is pour out the revelations you've picked up over the last 35 years in 12 little booklets called Power in Your Pocket. Why is it called Power in Your Pocket? Because I want you to take one with you every day, wherever you go, and you have a lunch break. Read a couple of pages. You're waiting in a doctor's office. You're waiting in a dentist's office. You have time that you're just wasting. And I believe that as you walk in revelation knowledge, particularly the anointing that is on Peter, is on this material. He covers such subjects as Israel, power of blessing Israel, how to receive your healing, and also, just as important, how to keep your healing, how to have financial breakthroughs, how God works through suddenlies. And as Peter said, the questions and answers about healing, even his revelation about what the first church was like and about house meetings. And I love the one that's 20 keys to financial breakthroughs. These are revelations from a man that has walked with God for 35 years, moves in a miracle anointing, and I want this to get inside of you and inside of your spirit. We're making Power in Your Pocket available for a gift of $40. To hear this week's interview or watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.com. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 704-943-6500. That's 704-943-6500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation to Sid Roth. That's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278.